Well, there are some students that are getting some rest right now, and there's some that are exhausted because they haven't got their rest yet. And schools are out, and they're getting out, and summer's beginning. I'd like to turn your attention to 1 John chapter 1 for our communion message today. 1 John. Break out of our series in John. Reminded that the same John that wrote the Gospel of John, I believe, wrote the Epistles of John. And the first two verses kind of start off where we are in the Gospel of John as he describes the resurrected Jesus Christ, who he calls here the Word of Life. But he goes on from that in this marvelous chapter 1. And we're going to look at some thoughts here this morning to prepare ourselves for the table of the Lord. Because part of communion is to examine ourselves. So may the Lord help us to do that today. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Speaking, of course, about Jesus and their eyewitness and ear witness and hand witness of his resurrection. Empirical evidence. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness and show to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Some of your Bibles say that our joy might be full. There's a textual variant there. Our interest is in verses 5 and following this morning. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And here we have one of the three great revelations of God in John's theology. John's writings tell us three things about God, extremely important. God is spirit. We learn that in the Gospel of John. God is light. We learn that in 1 John. And God is love. We also learn that in 1 John. And very important to just state this. John tells us God is light before he tells us God is love. Now, both are true, but God is love is to be understood in the context of the fact that God is light. And so, this is not what I'm preaching on this morning, it's just a preliminary to it. But God is light, he's all light, and he is pure light. So much that it defines him. God is light. And so it moves on and says in verse 5, this then is the message which we've heard of him and declare to you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And Dr. Hoyt at Grace Seminary used to say, not even a speck. Not even a speck. Not like the sun, S-U-N, that has sunspots. Not even a speck. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. Father, there's many practical ramifications and implications to this section of Scripture, so guide me as I speak in each of us as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. There are folks today that are in different positions. They're in different conditions. And I think you can put You can take all the people in the world on this planet and put them in some of these categories, and they'd fit just fine. And one of the shocking ones is that people that think they think they're saved and they're unsaved. They're professing to be in the light and to know the God of light, but John says they're in darkness. And he mentions that in verses 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So there's people that think they're in the light and they're not. They say they have fellowship with God who's light, but they're walking in darkness. They're living in darkness. And they're lying to themselves, they're lying to others, and they're not doing the truth. So instead of walking in light, they're walking in darkness, but they're posing to themselves and others that they're walking in light. It does happen. That kind of thing happens. Now, behind all of this is the very fact that when someone comes to Christ and when someone is born again, the light goes on. In fact, they go into the light. That's their new position. That's their new situation. If you're saved, you're in the light. But there's people that say they're in the light. They're not in the light. They're in darkness. A person that's been born blind doesn't know the difference between light and darkness anyway. So they can think they're in the light and they're not. Turn, hold your place here and look in Colossians chapter 11. Chapter 11. I better go back to bed and come back up again. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. Colossians, I did get a good night's sleep last night. I don't know where that came from. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. Well, Paul goes back and talks about Epaphroditus, who declared to him the love of the Colossians and their love in the Spirit. And he says in verse 9, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, desire you might be filled with the fullness of God and his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Now here it comes. "Giving thanks unto the Father, who's made us fit to be made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." King James says, "in his dear Son." Some say, "in the Son of," literally, "the Son of his love." So if when a person's saved, they've changed citizenship. They've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness, and they've been translated at that moment, at that very moment, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. It's a big change. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So that's a very powerful verse. Everybody's a Christian now, used to be in the kingdom of darkness. Everyone. They used to be there. But they're not there anymore. They've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we have a new position. This is positional truth. This is nothing to brag about, this in the sense of, oh, now I'm smarter than other people or more spiritual than other people. It's just I've got a new position. I was in the darkness, and now I'm in the light. And I didn't do that for myself. It's what God did for me. Already. Already. That's already happened. The day you became a Christian, that happened. You didn't do it. God did it. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. Every Christian here remembers something. When we were unsaved, we thought we were in the light. We thought we understood stuff nobody else thought understood. We thought we were smarter than other people. We thought we were sharp as a tack. And we weren't. But we thought we had the inside track. But we didn't. And every one of us, I think it's very safe to say, every one of us realizes that when we got saved, something happened. The lights came on. And we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom, Son of His love. And God did it. We know we didn't do it. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." He doesn't just say light. He's got to put that adjective on there. Marvelous light. So, we sing a gospel song, "Send the Light." Why? Because without Christ there's no light. Spiritually. It's one of those selective blindnesses where people can see everything else and therefore they're deceived about the darkness they're in. They can see other stuff so they don't realize how blind they are. Such selective blindness. My mother-in-law has that, as you've heard me say. She's got macular degeneration. She's got two great big black spots in both eyeballs. So she can't see what's right in front of her. She has some peripheral vision. Like this. She can see out of the sides. That's what macular degeneration people can. Some of you have that. And so she can read like this. But she can't read like this. And you even have to tell her what's on her plate. She can't see it. Just to ask. But she can still walk. She can still move around. Sometimes she's sitting there and she'll look out the front. She'll say, "Who's that coming up the walk? Is that Ramona?" I mean, it just shocks me sometimes what she can see out of the side of her eye when she can't see stuff right in front of her. And the most obvious stuff, she's blind to. And that's the way we are when we don't know the Lord. The most obvious fact of the universe is God. And we can't see Him. Years and years and years ago, I've told you this, we met my mother-in-law at the airport. I think it was Atlanta Airport, if my memory serves me correct. And we were going to meet her and go on vacation. She flew up from Florida just years ago. And I walked up to her, and one of the other kids did. And she didn't even recognize me. I'm standing right in front of her, as close as I am to this pulpit. She could get around the airport. But she couldn't see me right in front of her. Now, she spent her life getting around airports, so she knew how to do airports, but she couldn't see me. And so many people don't realize they're in darkness when they're in darkness. And we didn't. When we were in darkness, we thought we were seeing fine. But when we get saved, we get transferred into His marvelous light. And Peter was writing about what these folks understood. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. Turn there, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. Now, those of you that know history and you know philosophy and you've dabbled in that a little bit, you understand how Western culture is very much enamored with the Enlightenment. To them, that's the biggest thing to celebrate, not the Reformation, but the Enlightenment. And there's a lot of things to be thankful for about the Enlightenment, but the Enlightenment that they're talking about has actually, in the present age, taken people away from God. And so it's really not the Enlightenment when it comes to spiritual things. It's one of the most tragic things I've ever thought about. We're so smart now, we don't need God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul's writing to the Christians in Ephesus, and of course, they were filled with all the pagan pluralism and the darkness of false religion. Great as Diana, the Ephesians, and all that stuff, and all the immorality and other stuff that followed it. And he said, don't be partakers of all this stuff with them. For because of these things, the wrath, let no man deceive you. Well, I'll go back to verse 6. Let me go on to verse 4. Proving what is acceptable in the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful workness of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. The Bible uses this term a lot. And it's not that Christians are smarter than other people. We don't get a bump in our IQ when we get saved. It's not that. It's that we got light that we didn't have before. And go back to 1 John now with all of that in mind. But it's possible for a person to say, I'm in the light, I'm saved, and their practice belies their profession. It's obvious to everyone but them that they're not. So it's very possible for someone to think they're saved and not be saved, or even say they're saved and not be saved. It is possible. And in 1 John chapter 1, God's nature determines the conditions for fellowship with God and a relationship with God. And religion without morality is an illusion. Belief and behavior are inextricably married. And 1 John understands that there are folks sitting in pews or chairs that are lying to themselves and to others and to God about their condition. He says in 1 John 2:19 of the people that left Christianity and followed a ascetic religion, a false Christianity, they went out from us, but they were not of us. They thought they were, we thought they were, but they weren't. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been with us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, you got to read that sentence 3 or 4 times to get the flow, right? He's basically saying they were never real. These weren't people that were saved and lost their salvation. They never had it. They said they had it, they thought they had it, but when something else came in, it sounded better to them, and they went with it. I hate to use this illustration again, but it just comes to my mind because it was when I was a young Christian. We had a young man come to our Bible class, and he bought all these theology books. He looked like he was going really strong. He used to be a rough guy. I almost got in a fight with him in high school. I didn't want to either because I knew he'd clean my clock. But anyway, this guy came to Bible class, made a profession of faith, was looking real good, and then a cult came through town. Larry and Linda would recognize it. And this cult came through town and offered to make him a missionary, and he went with them. It was that guy that writing the Mo letters, whoever he was, that he had prostitutes for Jesus, girls that would prostitute themselves to get people to join the group. Can't remember it. No, it wasn't the way, it was another one. Something like that. Anyway, he bought that hook, line, and sinker and went with it. And the next time we saw him, a few years later, he was a bouncer at a bar, just living a low life. Satan accomplished what he wanted to do, got him away from the truth. And he bought into a lie. He got to travel for a while and then become disillusioned. That's what John's talking about. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Now, that doesn't say a Christian can't get mixed up. A real Christian can't get mixed up for a while, because that happens sometimes to some of God's real people, but not permanently. For they, had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And so the picture here is there are people who think they're saved and they're not. Time tells everything. And many people have thought they were saved and they were not. They thought they tried it and there's nothing to it. And then they really get saved. And they think, I thought I was saved then and I wasn't saved. And then they get saved. But some just give up and chuck it all and say, nothing, I tried that, there's nothing to it, and so forth. So those kind of things happen. So what I'm saying, number one, there are those who say, or you say, I'm saved, but they're not. And it's obvious to everybody else but themselves that they're not. 1 John 2:9 says, he that says he's in the light, hates his brother, is in darkness even till now. He can say it 5,000 times. I'm in the light. I'm a Christian. But he hates his brother. He's in darkness until now. He's never been out of darkness. He's never been translated out of darkness. He's still in darkness. You see, you have to be born again to love Christians. We're a hard group to love. You just won't love real Christians if you're not saved. You just won't. And you can't love God if you're not saved. You just don't. But anyway, first group are those who... Well, go back to verse 1 John 2:9. He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even to now. He that loves his brother abides in the light. There's no occasion of stumbling in him. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because darkness has blinded his eyes. So it's a sad business. And to think you're saved and not be. There are people like that. Then there's other people that say, I'm unsaved and I know it. And I'm in darkness. I don't know what's right. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's real. And I'm okay with that. In fact, I like it. I like my life right where it is. Now there are a lot. It's very honest to say that, and it can sometimes even be painful to say that. But I think that person's better off than the one that thinks they're saved and not. I'd rather have the honesty, right? Wouldn't you? So would God. And so in chapter 2, verse 11, well, go back to John chapter 3, verse 18. John, I want the Gospel of John, I'm sorry. Before you go to 3:18, I want you to go back to, just go back to verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, better translated, the ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. You can be a Bible student and be in the darkness. You can be a super Bible student and be in the darkness. You can be the ruler of the Jews or the Christian version of that and be in the darkness. You can be the Pope and be in the darkness. You can be a pastor of a Bible church and be in the darkness. Here was a man extremely religious. The lights hadn't turned on for him yet. You can say a lot of good things about Jesus and still be in the darkness. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. You can give Jesus compliments. You can have a high view of Jesus and still be in the darkness. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you can't see anything. You think you're seeing, you think you're understanding, you're still in the dark, Nicodemus. And so instead of Jesus being flattered that this member of the Sanhedrin is giving these compliments, Jesus saw this guy isn't saved yet. He didn't have life, he doesn't have light. And Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say to you, you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now it's hard to tell moral people and people who are affable and likable and intelligent and well-read and well-studied, they're not born again yet. But it does happen. We had a fellow in seminary. He's a Bible teacher out west. He's got a big church. He's got a doctor's degree now. He was led to the Lord in Greek class in seminary. I wasn't in the class, but I heard about it. Here's a guy going in the ministry at a conservative seminary. And Dr. Sproul led him to the Lord in Greek class. Kind of helpful if you're born again, if you're a pastor, but not all pastors are born again. Not all seminarians are born again. So here's a guy who was religious, like Nicodemus, but somewhere, I wasn't in that class, I was in another class. I wish I had Sproul, but I didn't. But he realized he wasn't saved. And so Nicodemus was in that crowd, and Jesus said, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. That means you are in the dark. John chapter 3, verse 18. Now Nicodemus could see all kinds of other stuff in the Bible. He probably knew stuff in the Bible you don't know, and I don't know. But he didn't know what he needed to know. Jesus said in 3:18, He that believes on him, that's on the Jesus Christ of John 3:16, is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's a shocking verse. And here again, we're reminded that the will blind the mind. Everybody thinks they have white coat objectivity when it comes to religion. Nobody has. Because when it comes to you can have white coat objectivity to everything except when it touches God. And that's where the blindness comes in, because the will bribes the mind, as Jonathan Edwards says. And men love. That's a matter of the love, where the love is. Darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. I want to do this. If I become a Christian, I can't do it. So, or I want to not think about it. Might not, you may not even be an evil person in the sense of wanting to kill somebody or rape somebody or commit adultery or rob a bank, but you just don't want God over your life. You want to be over your life. That's what you love. And you know that love is there, and it's secretly blind in the mind. That happened to me as a kid. I knew Christianity was true. Even as a kid, I knew it. I was convinced of that, but I held back 2 years. You mean as a child I did that? As a child I did that. Why? I was going to pay a price. I didn't want to pay it. I wanted to do Bill Hickson stuff. Bill Hickson thing. And so Jesus really puts his finger on it here in a very colorful way. But there are people that are in the dark, and we will tell them that, and they'll say, well, if I'm in the dark, that's where I want to be. They don't want to be in the light. They don't want to have a life of reality. They'd like their present situation. Now, turn back to 1 John, and he's really shockingly saying some things. He says in verse 5, this then is the message which we've heard of him and declare that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's true of God and only of God. That if we say we have fellowship with him who is light and walk in darkness, we live in darkness, we lie. What are we lying about? We're lying to ourselves and to others about having fellowship with God. Better just be flat out honest and say, I don't know God, I don't like God, I don't love God, and I don't want to know him. And there are people that do that. But he's exposing those that try to do it otherwise and say, we got fellowship with God, and they're walking in darkness and don't do the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us all from all sin. Because light exposes sin. And if you don't want the sin exposed, you just ignore the one that is going to expose sin. That's the great motive for atheism is what? I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just giving a biblical view of it. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. He says something to himself because he doesn't want there to be a God. It cracks me up when atheists say, you Christians are just engaging in wishful thinking. You want a heavenly father. You want it so bad you engage in wishful thinking. And sometimes when I'm feeling ornery or just bold, I try to say it lovingly, well, how is it that your atheism isn't wishful thinking? You wish there wasn't a God. And your atheism is just the projection of your wish. So why are you saying I'm engaging in wishful thinking and you're not? Are you telling me you really, really, really want to believe in God? You really, really want there to be a God like the God of the Bible, but you just can't get it? I don't normally see that. If people are honest, they don't want God to be that way. That one guy that they called Darwin's bulldog, he said, I don't want the world to be that way. I don't want there to be a God that tells me what to do. At least he was honest. So there are those who are in darkness, and they know they're in darkness, and they prefer that, and that's what they want to be, and they're very happy about not knowing God, and they don't want it to change. And they're kind of proud of it, but they've got it rationalized to themselves. But to walk in darkness is to live habitually in the very sphere of error and sin. Now, Let me say this, and I don't want to get too long on this. I think the average American thinks sin is getting drunk or committing adultery or stealing or robbing or lying. Those things are sin. If I don't do those, I'm a pretty good person. And they define sin that way. Americans are really good at defining sin that way. And often it is defined around what we do with our body. You know, you drink too much, you have sexual sin. And I hope that when you run into somebody like that, and they I don't do these things, so I'm, you know, the biggest sinner in the Bible has no body. Angels, good and evil, don't have any bodies. The biggest sinner in the Bible is the devil. He has no body. The devil has never committed fornication. Devil's never gotten drunk. You ever think about it that way? I'm not minimizing that other stuff. I'm simply saying there are other sins than what we call sins. There are sins of immorality, and parents are always worried about their kids getting into sins of immorality, and rightfully so. A good parent is concerned about it. But what about metaphysical sins? You say, what are you talking about now? What about wrong ways of thinking about God, about life, about reality? What about buying into the lie of the serpent? The first sin that got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden had nothing to do with sex or drunkenness. It had everything to do about believing a lie. So when I was a young student, I bought into a lot of lies, philosophical lies, political lies. And so those are things have to be, if people buy into religious lies. So a person needs to repent of all the religious lies they've believed, all the philosophical lies they've believed. Those are things that are just as damaging and even more damaging, because that's what drives the other stuff. And so instead of being proud and satisfied, when someone is in that position, there's not much you can do until God breaks in. But when you do get saved, you realize this was all wrong. Number three, there are people who are saved and know it. They know they're not in darkness. They know what God has done. And they know that they've been saved. And then there are people that are saved and don't know it. And they lack assurance. For one thing or another, some reason or another, they lack assurance. And this book was written to give assurance to people who were saved and weren't assured of that. These things I've written to you, 1 John chapter 5, that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might know that you have eternal life. And so John doesn't want us to be in that condition where we can't know. He wants us to be in the condition where we do know. Simon Kistemaker said, fellowship means intimately sharing in the full light of God's presence. Nothing is hidden in the brilliance of divine revelation. So fellowship in 1 John 1 is living in the radiance of God's light. That's a hard place to live in, because it exposes things in our life as Christians that aren't right. It's the nature of light that it makes visible, and that can be threatening to us Christians. Because sometimes I'm dirty and I know I'm dirty, but I don't want the light to show me I'm dirty, because then I've got to do something about it. So even us Christians sometimes have to come out of the bushes, come out of the shadows, or as Beauty said to the Beast, come into the light. Got to drop the fig leaves and get the cleansing. So verse 5 says, "This then is the message we have of him and declare to you that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say, we professing Christians say, we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth." What are we lying about? We don't have fellowship with him. We don't know him. We're not doing the truth. But if you walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There's two results of walking in the light: fellowship with other Christians and the blood of Jesus cleansing you from all sin. When Christian people pull away from other Christians, it's usually because there's something in their life that's not right. And it just happens. And when they get right with the Lord, they're coming back into the light. They get back, they're God's people. Let me read what he says. If we have fellowship, verse 6, with him, that's with God who's light, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's the person that's lying to himself about being saved. But the others, that's verse 7. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That actually is fellowship with Christian to Christian, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So when we're in the light, we see ourselves as God sees us, not as we deceive ourselves. Have you ever gone out of the house and you thought you were looking better than you did? Happens to me all the time. Now, fortunately, I've got a wife that will say, straighten your belt, straighten your tie, you got a spot on your sleeve, and all the other stuff that I miss in my obliviousness. But when we walk in the light, God will point stuff out to us when we read the Bible, when we pray. I had things pointed out to me at 3 in the morning this morning. You know, God teaches you in the night. Sometimes you wish he'd let you sleep. It's something you need to hear. And so when we're walking in the light, we see ourselves as God sees us. Now, when we get back to John 21, Peter needed to see himself as the Lord saw him. Not as he saw himself. He saw himself as, everybody else is going to deny you, but not me. That was his view of himself. I'll be with you, Jesus, when everybody, rest of them running, I'm not running. I bought a sword, it's a big one, and I'm good. I got your back. That was his view of himself. But when Jesus starts questioning him, do you love me more than these? Our Lord was giving him his view of Peter rather than Peter's view of Peter. What was happening to Peter on that beach? He was in the presence of the light. Now, Peter had been long restored. He was restored when Jesus appeared to him Easter afternoon, at least 2 weeks before that, personally. But the reason Jesus is having that post-breakfast discussion with him is because his fall was a public one, and he had to be publicly restored to the position of head apostle. He was already personally restored. That fellowship was already dealt with, and we don't have that meeting. I wish we did. I wish the Bible talked about that. But in that public restoration, Peter had to, in that whole thing, do you love me more than these, and all those questions, he had to go through that process. But going through that process, he was getting Jesus' view of his himself rather than his own. And that can be really painful, and that happens when we get alone with Jesus and we read the Bible and we think we're a lot better off than we are. We think we're better than others, and then we find out, oh, wow, Bill Hickson's not anywhere as far along as he thought he was. I don't love Jesus anywhere as much as I fantasize that I do. And that's why it says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. The truth is not in us, because the truth will deal with us about that most obvious fact of our life. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So all that examination, confession, repentance is part of the process. Now, if we look in the Bible, we see that God's people that really walked with God went through that. What is Psalm 32, Psalm 51? What is Peter? Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. When he first meets Jesus, and then he's on the beach and he gets grieved because Jesus is just digging a little deeper. What is Paul apologizing of sinners? I'm chief. What is Isaiah? Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. You see God, and then you see your sin. Till you see God, you don't see your sin. Those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You can always find somebody worse than you. So walking in the light has the concept of being corrected and cleansed, and but you can't boast of fellowship of God and neglect your brother or the blood of Jesus. Because walking in the light results in fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us of all sin. And those are sins that we confess. And part of communion is to do that, to give us those moments before God when he might point out something that we've been ignoring, and we all have it. John Stott said, he who consistently has trouble maintaining fellowship with others walking in the light should examine his own claim of fellowship with God. And he quotes 1 John 3:14 and 1 John 2:19. But thank God the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That's continuous and comprehensive. Thoughts, words, deeds, rashness, ignorance, malice, omission, commission. We can live a life in sympathy with God. And you know, some people aren't Christians. I've heard, how many people, if I said, raise your hand, have you ever had a non-Christian tell you this? I'll be a Christian when I can live it. Or I won't be a Christian because I can't live it. I'd like to have $5 for every time somebody's told me that. But none of us can live it. That's the whole point. That's why we need the blood of Christ. And that's why we go through this process. If you wait till you can live it, you're going to be waiting until judgment day and you will never live it. It's actually a legitimate thought. You want to live it. You don't want to be a hypocrite. But you can't live it because you don't have light. You don't have life. You've got nothing. You're in darkness. You're dead. So you've got to come trusting God will change you from the inside out. And it'll be a progressive thing. And you'll still stub your toe and you'll still fall. But you'll be living your life of reality. Burdick said, to walk in the light is to live in the sphere characterized by truth and holiness and that come from God and are therefore God-like. To walk in darkness is to live habitually in the very sphere of error and sin. Well, this is a hard message. This is the apostle of love writing about God is light. And I get so tired of media people and media programs talking about God's love and somehow compromising God's light. They seem to revel in that. The fellowship with God necessarily involves a moral likeness to him. And we don't have that with our first birth. The new birth is an impartation of life. Alexander McLaren said, to walk in the light is to have purity, righteousness, goodness, as the very element and atmosphere in which our profession, in which our progress and changing life is carried on. We don't become the light, we don't become sinless, but we're willing to let God be dealing with us every day. Not shoving God away, bringing him close. He's like that friend that keeps telling us what we're doing wrong. Out of love. You ever have a friend like that? You kind of get tarred up? You know, I just don't want to be around you today because I don't want to hear what you're going to say. But God's a loving fellowship. And it's hard for us to be around him, but it's also wonderful because we're uplifted by him. We're better for it. So as we come to the table of the Lord, if we don't know the Lord, you're really missing something. You're missing that God who's so good to love you even though you're what you are, and whose presence can make you better, and who died for you on the cross of Calvary. That's what we're celebrating tonight. So when we're taking the bread and the cup, we're not saying, oh, we're better than other people. We're not saying that. We're saying we're probably worse than other people, but we're saved sinners instead of just sinners. And that doesn't mean we don't sin. It means that we are not what we used to be. We're saved from the guilt of sin, the penalty of sin. We're being saved from the power of sin, and someday we'll be saved from the presence of sin, but not yet. And we're celebrating that in anticipation for something greater, being saved from the presence of sin and being in the presence of God who's light, and being in a new heaven and new earth and where there's no darkness, no night there, no night. And the light of the Lord and the Lamb is going to light it. I don't know what that means. It's got to be good. So let's take the bread and the cup. And if there's anyone here not yet knowing the Lord, may God work mightily in your heart and draw you to himself and do what I can't do. Bring you to saving faith in him and him alone as your God who died for you and rose again. Another question I like to ask people sometimes that aren't Christians is, are you telling me you wish this was true, but you just can't buy it because there's not enough evidence? Are you really telling me that? That you really, really want there to be a God that loves you enough to die for you, but you just don't have enough evidence for that? Is that what you're saying? You really want that? That's the way you would love life to be, but you face the facts that we won't. There's really not a God like that, and there's really not enough facts to make a profession like that. Or are you saying this? I don't want a God like that. I want to be my own God. Which is better? Which is reality. Thank you, Father, for what we looked at today. We take the bread and we take the cup. Challenge us with your truth as we celebrate the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for him. And we think of what the light of the world did for that man who was physically blind. And that man said, since the world began, has anyone ever done something like this? He was born blind, but Jesus made him see. We were born spiritually blind, but we can walk in the light with the new birth. Thank you for it. Bless us now. as we take the bread and the cup. Challenge us to be a thankful people. In Jesus' name.
Amen.